Let's give another hand of praise for Ken. And keep his brother in prayer. You know, we want to see God's glory come through with this healing, with the stent or the heart attack that he had. But one good thing is that Ken is able to be a minister to his brother. Let him see the faith that is alongside of him with our God. You know, there are many gods out there. How many people understand that there are many gods out there? I mean, there are many. If you look through history, there has nothing but, I want to say wars of knowledge of who God is. You had the moon god, you had the corn god, you had the star god, you had the sun god, you had every god there you could imagine, and they would all go and worship these different gods. If they needed a good crop, they would pray to the harvest god, and if they wanted sun, they would pray to the sun god, and if they wanted rain, they'd pray to the rain god. I don't know about you, but I want to go to the main god, the one that created all these other gods. You know, the ones that, I'm not going to deny that there isn't life in the sun. I'm not going to deny that there isn't life in the moon. I'm not going to deny that there isn't life in the rain. How many people understand where I'm coming from? It's very important to know that there are powers in these entities. There are powers in these entities. But God and our Creator is the power of all entity. So now you don't have to worry about if you're praying to the right God. You know? It's like, if you want something, why go through the secretary? You want to go right to the VIP or the boss, right? And to know this God is very important. And to know this God is a very, very important understanding. You know, Ken mentioned something earlier about how God loves you just the way you are. And I want to share that I received a statement on a Facebook page. And this girl she confesses that she's a Christian. And she is really someone who is trying to change her life around. She's sincere. She was someone who was on the streets and on heroin. And I got to follow her a little bit on Facebook. And she's not far from here. She's only right in Hamilton. And I'm hoping and praying that maybe she'll walk through those doors one day. But I make comments every once in a while on her page. And she's really trying hard to clean her act up. She has children. Her children were taken away from her. She got her children back. I mean, this is really awesome. And if you look at this girl, you would have never thought she was on the streets on heroin. Never. I mean, she looks like Mary Beth. I mean, when I look at Mary Beth, I see this girl, and I'm like, man, she looks just like you. You could be her sister. She's clean cut looking, very wholesome, very beautiful, nice girl. Lost her children. Now she got them back. She's on her own now. She has her own place and everything. But just like every one of us, we throw some F-bombs around. You know, we carry ourselves a little rough, a little, you know, maybe a little swearing, maybe throwing a bird out there every once in a while. You know, how many people have thrown the bird out this week, you know? All right, listen, this is so important. Okay? And she's being shunned by Christians in her area because of her not conducting herself properly, so to say, which I think she handles herself well. So I had the pleasures of sending her an email saying that God loves you just the way you are, that we are changed. It's not, Christianity is a religion. God wants a relationship. It's about being transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory. Don't think that because we come before God that he doesn't see all of our faults and our shortcomings and everything, but he loves us just the way we are. This is the basis of our ministry right here. And it's not about rules and regulations. And thank you, Ken, for bringing that up. And I'm going to reiterate the importance of that truth. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about having a relationship with God. And I asked her, I said, listen, Paul, as I said, we are changed from glory to glory. And that we die daily. And then we're resurrected daily. And the old man has passed away. And so we become new today. So, you know, listen, we're all aware of the birds we threw yesterday. Well, maybe throw two of them rather than five of them. You know, however you're convicted in your heart, if you feel as though that this is something that might not be pleasing in the eyes of God, and you want to come before him in a pleasing manner, heed those. But if it's not touching you and it's not bothering you, throw as many birds as you want out there. It doesn't matter. God loves you for who you are. He's probably up there giggling. There he is again, throwing another bird. When's he going to realize that the bird isn't going to make anything different? It's not going to change it. The guy's still going to cut you off. You know, he's still going to say what he wants to say. It's not going to make any different, you throwing the bird at him, but they'll learn eventually. And he's laughing up there. I think God loves our innocence and our simple selves. And I hope and pray that she might be listening right now, because I asked her, you know, please log on to this website and follow the ministry and have that relationship with God. This is not my message. This is just something that I want to share and let to build us up and to let Ken know. You know, keep walking that walk, brother. You know, show the light and the love of God. Despite what people might think or say about us, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we have a relationship with him. I'm grateful for all the relationships that I have out there. But if I had to make a choice, it wouldn't be you. You see what I'm saying? It would be him. And him only. Because when we leave this earth, it's going to be about him. It's going to be about him and him only. And so when we do walk, moving forward, do everything unto him. Do everything unto God. Do everything unto God, and you will see your life prosper. You will see that your family will prosper. Your life will prosper. Everything will prosper. You might not get where you want to be real quick, but you'll prosper. The things on this earth shouldn't really mean much to us. The heavenly realm, the earthly realm should fade away. The heavenly realm is what we should build on. We should bank our treasures up there. We should establish a house up there. We should begin to start looking at our place up there. And if I had to ask you, where's your house at? Where's your treasure at? Do you have a place? I have a house and a street. I live on Glory Lane, and my house is huge. And I got a bank up there that I've been storing up there, and I've just been banking up there. And I know that when I get up there, I'm going to have what I need. Let's start visioning that house. Let's vision that street that you live on. Let's start visioning and live in that place, you know. Jesus even said, if I go before you and prepare a place, and if I haven't, you know, I wouldn't say. I want to bring Michelle up real quick, just to give a testimony of what God is doing in your life. I heard some good feedback from a little bird that you are conducting and handling yourself in a very mature manner lately. And I want to give her a real big hand. A little bird. Don't worry about a little bird. It's a little bird. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Michelle. I just want to open it up for her and just, you know, look, the world's listening and they want to hear from her. And amen.
Well, I don't know about that. I guess it depends. The bird must not have been driving next to me, that's for sure.
It's the bird's flipping. The
bird pulled. I'll say that, you know, in the last year, I would say, I'm really careful what you wish for, because when you start seeking, it comes, and it doesn't come nicely. It comes hard, because it's teaching you lessons that you need to, actually probably unteaching you things, so it hurts even more to unlearn something that you've been doing for so long. And, you know, I feel like I've been tested with my husband, with his health, with Liv's health, with my baby's health, with finances are always looming. You can look at, no one has enough, you know. And I just keep going back to, it's just about me and God. You know, like, I even went through an exercise recently where I didn't share something that I would normally share with people. It was, you know, something that would get people upset in my life and something that, you know, sat with me. And usually when I get bad news for myself, I don't know if I'm looking for sympathy or compassion or what from other people, but you know what? They can't do what God can do. So I just kept it to myself. I didn't even tell my husband about it. He's not listening, so we're good. And when he hears it, I'll explain later. because it was about me and God. And I don't even read the Bible, but the message about, you know, offering his son, whoever offered his son, and he brought him to the altar to offer his son. I hold, like, these are my kids, God. These are my kids. And God says, no, they're not. They're my kids. You didn't create them. You can't create them. They're my kids. Like, what else could you give God other than your kids? You know, if you have kids, like, what else is there to give him? It feels so much like it's mine. So he showed me that even when, who was it that went up there so I know their names? Abraham. When he went up there, he didn't tell his wife what he was doing. And he didn't tell the child what he was doing. The child even, nobody knew. It was between him and God. If you can get to that place where you keep it between you and God, and he's testing you, and you can be that strong, he will offer something so that you don't have to give it up. But it's about your heart. If you give it up in your heart, he's so gracious to not take it away from you. And that is so important, because we're all tested, and we feel like we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. We're going to lose the money. We're going to lose the good job. We're going to lose this. We're going to lose that. If you give it up in your heart, he's so grateful and gracious to not take it away. And that's so important. And so that's it. I don't know if that's what you wanted to hear or what.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You'll notice I do little things in the spiritual world to help bring what he needs to bring. And one of the things is, one of the verses that you might be looking for is, what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And so, for those that are out there listening, you know, we go through things, you know, and yes, we should fellowship with one another and pray amongst each other and all that other stuff, but some people might not be mature enough to handle it. Some people might not be mature enough to know what God is doing in your life. Everybody's got opinions, everybody's got emotions, everybody's got this stuff going on. And you know that the more that you share, and they're not ready or mature enough, could throw off a different realm and a power to come against you. How many people understand what I'm saying? I hope and pray that this year, I look around and I say to myself, Lord, I know what you're doing. You're building up leaders. You're building up a strong foundation of this facility, because when it does take place, when the bow breaks, when the dam is released and the floodwaters come in, there is a strong body, a core, that is going to stick together and be able to minister properly to those that aren't able to touch some of us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be untouchable. I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want anybody talking to me. I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want anybody around me. I'm isolating myself. How many people understand that one? You might not right now, but you'll understand it later. Be grateful for what we have now. Be grateful You know, the only ones that I'm going to probably be around are is the core pastors of this ministry. That's it. and those that are close to me in some other areas of my life. Outside of that, I'm sorry, people out there. Hasta la vista, baby. But God is raising up leaders. You guys are leaders. You guys are called to minister to those who have no clue of the spiritual world. They don't understand. They're suffering because of lack of knowledge, and you are receiving knowledge. And I can understand. There is one war that was almost unbeatable. And it was the reason why was because they hid. They were very camouflaged. They used techniques that weren't seen. And because of that, they were winning the war. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay, I think it was the Vietnam War, that war there. And they were in such heavy camouflage combat. I mean, they're hanging out of trees and sniping and, I mean, literally coming down to a walking bush, you know, and they had people that were looking like children, you know, and all that stuff. And it was foreign to those that warred against those. You know, they weren't used to that kind of war, that guerrilla warfare. Well, that's what's happening now. We're not used to this spiritual warfare. We're not used to it. And we have to be trained and equipped and have an understanding of the world that we can't see that is attacking us. Now, yes, God is in control. And yes, God protects those who love him. But if we don't know how to conduct ourselves, I truly believe our actions cause a lot of illness and death in our lives. Our disposition and how we carry ourselves. You know, for example, if you're a child and you are unruly, you're going to get spanked, right? You're going to get spanked by your dad or mom. Okay. But if you conduct yourself appropriately and you're not unruly and you handle yourself appropriately, are you going to get spanked by mom and dad? No. What are they going to do? They're going to praise you. Now, some of you are just hearing spanking your child or whatever right away. All right, how about putting them in the corner for corner time? I'll make it a little bit easier. Or sending them to their room. Does anybody discipline children? Do you discipline children? Well, don't you think our Father in heaven disciplines us too? He does. And we don't want to be disciplined. How many people are tired of being disciplined? I am tired of turning around and not allowing me to have something. When I want ice cream, and he's like, no, you didn't eat your dinner, so you're not getting ice cream. And I can't have my ice cream. That's sad. I want my ice cream. And it's because I didn't eat my dinner. How many people have heard that one before? Well, on earth as it is in heaven, I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is no different than earth in that aspect, in that realm. How do you think we set our families up? How do you think we've set up our discipline? How do you think we set up our government? How do you think we set these things up? They came from the heavenlies. And then we built and expanded on them on the earthly knowledge and the earthly understanding and all this other stuff. And, you know, here's the mindset of a child who was disciplined. They don't love me anymore. They're mean to me. I'm always going in the corner. I'm always going up and doing, you know, the corner thing. And I don't like it anymore. And I don't, it's because they're mean. Has anyone ever felt that way towards their parents? Because you've gotten disciplined. You didn't look at yourself. You looked at the one who's doing the disciplining. Well, do you know subconsciously that might be how we look at God sometimes? You know, God's mean. He don't love me because I'm not getting what I want. And, you know, these things are happening to me and God's mean. Or then they take the way of escaping. The devil's doing it all the time. And now I got to fight the devil and I got to war against the devil and I got to do this against the devil. The core moral of what I'm trying to say is, I believe we bring the blessings or the curses in our lives. I truly believe we are the culprit of why we're exceeding and why we're not succeeding. And yes, we can see the carnal things and we can fix them carnally, but now it's time to see the spiritual things. Now it's time to start looking deeper, you know? I've looked at all the surface stuff, and there's still arising things that I could change in the surface realm of my life. But now it's time to start looking at the spiritual realm. And I've been wanting and desiring for those, my place is open for the, I call it the soaking room, the rehabilitation place, for those who want to go deeper and understand the truth, you know, come and soak and be under the wing of the covering, so to say, because that's when you get those little nuggets. You know, God speaks personally and directly to you. I look at the soaking room that has brought Michelle to the place where she's at. If she didn't come to that place to soak and to seek spiritual knowledge, would we be where we're at today? What could be happening before our eyes? You see? And do we blame God because of our actions? Are we blaming God because of our actions? Are we looking at our lives and blaming? Or are we looking at ourselves and blaming ourselves? I think we need to take responsibility of our lives. And moving forward, I want us to realize the importance of taking the responsibility of our life in the realm of the Spirit. You know, this ministry is for the deep seekers. It's not for the shallow, looking for the garment of righteousness to put on themselves so that they feel good for the week, you know, and go off and put on the image of righteousness and holiness. Now, this place is here to be transformed and carry the righteousness of God and be able to allow you to walk through the valley of death and fear no evil. To be able to get to that place and knowing that God is for me, not against me. And God is working in my life. And it's because I need this. What's happening in my life is because I need it to build character. How many people understand that we need trials and tribulations? Not alone. Blessings are great. Okay, everybody can embrace a blessing. Oh, give it to me. I'll take it. Give me every blessing you have. But how many of us can really receive a trial or a tribulation or a persecution or a suffering? This is why it's so important to understand the spiritual realm and begin to see that they're not bad things. They're good things. We have to reverse the way we see things. The reason is because God is creating character. He's creating character through our long sufferings, to our hardships. When blessings are happening in your life and things are going smooth, they are a great time to praise God. They're wonderful. It's like going into the bedroom. Praise God. Wonderful. This is awesome. Hallelujah. Things are great. Things are wonderful. You know why they're great and wonderful? Because you went through a storm and God will never give you more than you can handle. Okay? And so enjoy your resting period. Enjoy that comfort time that you have. Don't judge anyone because your life's doing well. Just start walking with a level of reverence saying, you know what? Thank you, God. And I'm happy that your hand is easy on me right now. Hallelujah. Because you're going to go to a next level. You're going to go to a next realm, a next phase, a next glory. And you're going to go there. When you do go there, don't start getting angry and bitter start rejoicing in these tribulations, start rejoicing in these sacrifices, start rejoicing in the persecution, the failures, if so to say, or whatever you want to say about your sadness, and begin to rejoice in all things, be glad in all things, and then allow God to refine you and create a better character in you. And the reason why I say that is because your next phase, your next journey, requires a better character of a person. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? You might say, well, I'm a good character already. Now, you have a lot of room to grow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you. You know, if you think you arrived already, that's bad news. That's when the red buzzers go up. In the spiritual world, you know, it's almost like Monsters, Inc. You know, you open up the door. And you got these, like, red little lights flashing. Oh, this guy's filled with pride. He thinks he arrived. Danger. You know? The spiritual world is opposite to what we think. We got to really renew our minds. We got to transform in the renewing of our minds and reverse our thought patterns. We have a character that needs to be altered and need to be changed. And moving forward, one of the things that has been gifted to us is that priceless pearl, that priceless gem that is sitting inside of us on our pedestal, and it's given to us to protect. And in that, that pearl is called peace. And God is peace. That's part of God. That's the beauty of it. That's part of God in you. There's a part of God, our Creator, that rests inside of you. And we need to protect it. We need to come to a place of protecting. But if we don't understand how to go about protecting, we're going to suffer. This pearl's going to get knocked off its pedestal. This pearl's going to get dirty and dungy and scratched and it's messed up. God wants us to keep it polished and refined and protected, and so it like radiates greater power in you. See, there is a tremendous power that God wants to release in your life to accomplish great and wonderful things. But that power cannot be released, nor could it draw your abilities or the things that you need to you. How many of us realize that we need things? People, places, things, money, all this stuff, material, objects. Well, God wants to create you as a magnet. Okay? Nothing is going to be drawn or given to you without being magnetized. And you need to be magnetized. Well, that pearl of great price is like a huge magnet. That thing that sits inside of you, that thing that you can't see, that we desperately need to protect, is a magnet. And God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And the riches of God, I'll tell you right now, is this priceless pearl of peace. You know, when God began to show me this revelation of the power of peace, it's incredible. And I didn't realize it, but the whole world is crying for peace. How many people see this? I mean, it's gone back with the peace sign. I mean, they're always throwing that thing out, you know, and going like this with their fingers, peace, peace, and crying for peace and unity and peace and peace and peace. Every time you turn around, peace, peace, peace. But their longing for peace is so carnal. They're never going to achieve peace until they understand the realm that is around them and in them. I always say life starts within and then it manifests outwardly and then can affect the outwardness. But we need to establish it. And believe it or not, this is the purpose of the church. This is the purpose of, you know, we so-called religion. To bring us knowledge to be able to be overcomers. To bring us knowledge to understand what is happening around us. See, you have a hope. You have a dream. You have a vision. You have a desire. You have an anointing that is inside of you. And that anointing needs to manifest because that anointing is your life. And if you don't get the anointing in you to manifest, you don't have a life. So how many of us here have wishes, desires, dreams, ambitions, things to do, things that you want to do? Now, when those things that you want to do and you can't do them, I'm going to tell you what's holding you back. The pearl of peace is not polished. Somehow, somewhere, that pearl of peace is not polished in that area that you need to polish. And what happens is you lose ambition. You lose an area of your life that you feel as though that you're not qualified or put in that situation where you can accomplish it, or you don't have the knowledge or whatever. Somehow along the line, that pearl of peace is dirty. And we need to begin to re-change the way we're thinking. We need to begin to open up our eyes and have a better understanding of the spiritual world that we live in. He says, my children suffer or are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And that knowledge has nothing to do with, you know, the book knowledge, as we've always been saying. The spirit knowledge. And this is what is to be given in the church. You know, we were talking about how, you know, some of us might go just to put on that righteous garment so we look good and that we can function, you know, throughout the week because we did our righteous duties. But God requires one thing, his righteousness. And part of his righteousness is because of the pearl of peace. I have a scripture verse that I want to... Geez, I hope I can even read it because I forgot my glasses. But you got glasses? You got reading glasses? Got to look down? Oh, a two-wayer. I hope I can use them. Let me see. Whoa! I tried looking down. That's okay. I got them. I love it. There you go. Ah, that's a little better. Okay, I'm not ready for bifocals. I can't do it. Okay, it says here, now I spoke about understanding discipline and begin to bring us into that place of it's nice to rejoice over blessings, but I always say that that's a resting period for you. When things are going well for you, okay, that's a good point to walk with that reverence, fear of God. Okay, God, thank you for this period of resting and get ready for the whammies. Just get ready for the whammies because the whammies is because God's creating character in you and he's building you up for greater things. There's greater things that are happening in your life and these whammies are there to only create a bigger, better character in you. So when you go through these hardships and trials and tribulations, we need to learn to rejoice in them. Don't just rejoice in the blessings and then walk around with this area of, you know, puffiness saying, oh, I got my act together. I know what's going on. You guys are all failing out there and yada, yada, yada. That's a bad thing to do. You never want to do that. You want to look at it as, thank you, God, for not putting your hand on me right now because, you know, he'll never give you more than you can handle. And so those blessings are only there to show you that he loves you and to show you that you can't handle anymore, and I'm giving you a period of resting. So when the whammies start coming, this is where we got to renew our minds and begin to start realizing God's creating a better character in you for the next level. The next level in your life, you're going to another level in your life that requires a better, greater character. Whether Maybe you learn how to handle money better. Maybe you're learning how to handle people better. Maybe, you know how to speak to certain individuals. Maybe judgment in your heart towards a certain ethnic group or whatever needs to change. Whatever it might be, God is refining you for your next phase. How many people understand that one? Okay, so in here, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And then it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So I'm going to just hold up on that verse for a moment, because I want you to know, the key points in here is not to be anxious for anything. How many of us have like desires and dreams? I spoke about it earlier. Get the tape today because it speaks about the anointing. You have an anointing inside of you. That anointing is ambitions, unctions, dreams, visions. How many of us here have those things in us? We want things. We want a life. Well, that's the anointing in your life. And if we don't understand the anointing and allow that anointing to manifest in our life, then we don't have a life. See, your dreams, your visions, those things that you want to accomplish don't just happen by accident. There are areas in your life that you have to build on. And I'm trying to show you the spiritual knowledge in how to build that anointing. How to build on the anointing, because the anointing is what brings your life in. The anointing is what brings your life into a manifestation to allow you to be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. For example, if you want to become a doctor, what do? You go to school, learn how to be a doctor, right? You go through, and there's certain knowledge that you want to obtain to allow you to become a doctor, correct? Okay, well, let's take this deeper. How many of us want a life? Forget about doctor. Maybe that's just a stepping stone in your life. You know, maybe that's not your whole career. I know I went through many schools and realized that wasn't the school I'm supposed to be doing. I went through many classes and teachings and trainings and things that I finally arrived. I got my degree and I'm going to be a profession in this. And then next thing you know, I'm in it for a year or two and say, this ain't where I want. But it is knowledge that I got for future references. So I'm not going to throw it away. But at the same time, I'm not going to put myself in a box and say, I hate this, but you know what? I went to school and now I got to just deal with it. Well, the same thing is your life. And God wants to give you a life. And without giving you a life, without having a life, you need knowledge to go along with having a life. I'm here to give you that knowledge so that you can have a life. But the core of your life is called the anointing. How many people have ever questioned the anointing? Like, what is it? Have anybody ever heard the word anointing? Like, you know, in throughout your daily working in Christianity or walking, trying to seek God or anything, to hear that Jesus was called the Anointed One. Okay? He was the Anointed One. And what that was he was manifesting the life that was given to him. He was called by God to walk in the anointing, to bring the miracles, signs, and wonders to show God's that he exists. That's the anointing. But you also have an anointing. The anointing is what brings your life to an existence. It's the resurrection power to allow your dreams and your hopes and your ambitions to come alive. You're all anointed. Now it's time to get the anointing manifesting in your life. Well, part of the anointing and getting it to manifest in your life has a lot to do with renewing your mind. Your mind has to change. And what I said earlier was, you know, we get angry when tribulations and trials and persecutions and shortcomings and failures and all that stuff come in our life. Well, that is quenching the anointing. That is robbing and stealing from your life when you get disappointed, when you get angry, when you get frustrated, when you get, you know, confused. Has anyone got upset because they failed a test in school or what have you? Or failed something or didn't do good in your grades? And you got all worried and upset and, you know. Well, this is what needs to be renewed in our minds. You got to start saying, wow, I failed. This is awesome. But that's retarded, isn't it? You're not supposed to be thinking that way. That's not the way to think. But the reality is, you do need to think that way. You need to say to yourself, wow, I failed. Okay, I'm going to take this test again, and I'm going to go hit the books, and I'm going to look and see where I failed. And you know what? I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pass. It opens your mind. It opens your heart. It opens yourself up for improvement. Some people tend to fail, and then they quit. They give up. They don't want to do it anymore. They say, this is not for me. I'm going to run away. How many of us felt that way before? Okay. Well, that's because your anointing was robbed, stolen, because of lack of knowledge. The anointing wasn't built up. It wasn't established. And one of the simplest ways to establish an anointing in someone, I'm not here to have you understand the deep things, but I am here to give you the little simple things that build the deep things. And the simple thing is don't like get discouraged. Start being grateful. Start thanking God for failure. Start thanking God for shortcomings. Start thanking God. And listen, you'll understand all the deeper stuff later. But I'm not here for you to try to understand the deep stuff right now. I just want you to grab to something that's simple for you to be able to do. Can you change the way you're thinking and start being happy with certain things in your life? Can you start being grateful and looking at your cup being half full rather than half empty is basically what I'm trying to say here. Because if we can exercise this, what we begin to do is protect the pearl of peace that I spoke about, that priceless pearl that's inside of you, that is like the magnet that draws all things unto God. You have a life that needs things. You have a life that requires certain things into your life, whether it's people, places, things, whatever it is. You have a life that requires things, right? You can't get through life without anything. You need stuff. Okay, how's that stuff come to you? Opportunity. People. Favor. How do they come to you? They come through a draw. And that draw is in the heavenlies. That draw is a power that you can't understand right now, that opens up doors that can't be opened. That power draws favor and changes hearts of people who will shun you and turn away you or read what you have and embrace it. See, this is a power that I want to release in your life, and it's affected by a pearl of peace. That pearl is inside of you. It's connected with the anointing. Okay, the anointing is like the, if I'm looking at this correctly, it's like muscle tendons holding on to a bone. And the bone would be like the peace, the pearl of peace. And the muscle and the tendons would be like the anointing. And that's what keeps it functioning. Without your muscles, your bones can't move, right? Am I right in this area? And so you need the bone, you need the muscles to make the bones work and to move and to operate. Well, you need the anointing to make the peace work. You need the anointing in order for the power of peace to manifest in your life. And so I'm going to get you to this place of being able to generate a draw into your life. You're suffering because you lack. You're lacking things in your life. You're lacking something, whether it's relationship, whether it's whatever. But you're lacking. You're lacking. And God doesn't want us to lack anymore. He wants us to be able to give all according to the need that is inside of us. He gave us a life, and this life has a need. And this life is not getting what it needs. It's lacking. And the reason why it's lacking is because we don't have the knowledge to draw what we need. And part of it, most of it, I would say all of it, has everything to do with how we carry ourselves, the disposition of ourselves. It's almost like you can't carry on a temper tantrum and expect someone to love you. You have to carry yourself a certain way. You have to humble yourself. You have to be broken in order for that person to see and have sympathy on you. But because you've changed your mind and you reversed what was happening inside of you, brought a power to change the heart for someone to have compassion on you. How many people are understanding what I'm trying to say here? It's important for you to grab hold of what I'm trying to say because we have to apply it in our lives. We have to get there. And if you don't understand right now, don't worry, because God will bring it into remembrance. He'll open your eyes. One day, all of a sudden, this message will come back to you and you'll hear that voice, and that voice will bear witness of what is happening, because God doesn't want you to suffer. Those that are listening over the airwaves, around the world, they're hearing right now, and they might say to themselves, man, this guy, I just can't grab hold of what he's saying. But I'm going to tell you right now, his word doesn't go back void. You will be equipped and you will understand. When those times come, you'll begin to be convicted. You'll begin to start being awakened. And all of a sudden, your mind will begin to change and be renewed. And then all of a sudden, your character will line up. How do you think I got where I got? I didn't understand anything. And then all of a sudden, revelation comes at the appointed moment, at the appointed time. I know that there is a lot more that God is downloading just in my own life. When my life was changed and I came back to this earthly place, I'm going to tell you right now, it was like I had all the knowledge, but I had no words to even explain what it was. There was like, how do you even say it? And words are starting to come out. Words are the same thing as understanding. When someone asks you a question, you're like, I don't know. Well, you do know, you just don't have the words. See, you do know what's going on, but you just don't have the revelation of what's going on. You don't have the words. And that's the same thing with the spiritual world. Okay, you have everything. I'm here to stir it up. I'm here to resurrect it. I'm here to bring to remembrance. I'm here to bring it back into the light. Right now, everything that God has created us for is inside, but it's in darkness. And when the word comes, it brings light into you. Don't worry about understanding. Don't worry about understanding. Just be grateful to hear. Just be able to be there to hear the revelation, to hear the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. And that light is coming into a dark place, and it's going to open. It's like a bud right now, a lotus flower. Has anybody ever heard of that? The lotus flower, you know? And then all of a sudden it brings up and it blooms, it blossoms. Guess what? You're being watered. You're having sunshine right now being poured on you. Okay? It's just a matter for your buds to open up. That's all. Your bud is going to open up. And you're going to be like, woo! And everything's going to be awesome. I'm very happy for you. I'm happy for what God is doing in your life. I'm excited, overly abundant, and exceedingly joyful for what is about to happen in your lives. And because now you're prospering, anyone that hears my voice right now, God is about to prosper. You might not know how. You might not know how, which way he's going to do it. You might not know anything right now, but you're going to be prosperous. You're ready to break open to another level in your life, and God is going to exceed you to another level. Okay? And because you're hearing my voice, you're being prepared for the next level in your life. You're being prepared for what God is about to do. There's a new chapter that is happening that doesn't conform to your old chapter. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. And you don't even associate with this world. It's like totally opposite of what you're normally used to. And because of the words that are being sowed right now, is bringing you into that place that you will be able to understand and cope and be around and correspond and be a part. How many people understand where I'm going here? And so God is preparing you to handle great things. See, some of us might be content and think that their life is already established and, you know, there's no more need for me to really make a change or whatever. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not true. That's not true at all. You may be content where you're at, but you know what? You might play a big part in just support. You might play a really big part in just support, where you're the laborer and you're actually out there treading the fields. You got someone there next to you that's comforting you and pouring in knowledge and like kind of just comforting and giving you that sense of you can do it and coming alongside and saying you can do it because you need the strength. Because sometimes we get discouraged or afraid of the unknown. And we need it. We need this word. We need this truth to resonate inside of us so that we can grow. How many people understand that the divine word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? And he didn't say that you had to understand it. He just said, hear it. Just hear it. When you plant a seed into the ground, unless it was told to you that this is a tomato seed, or this is a, you know, a carrot seed, or this is, you know, an apple seed, you really don't know what that seed is. They all kind of look alike, wouldn't you think? Until you stick it in the ground. And then all of a sudden, that seed begins to grow. Well, that's the same as the word. That word is seed. It's water. It's light. Sunshine. Power. And it's going in you. And it's beginning to, whether it's tilled out, whether it's planted, whether it's being watered, whatever it is, it's happening. That's why I say it's very important to our listeners to just listen. Just get on there and listen. Just listen, 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 listen. Don't care. Don't walk away because you don't understand. Who cares? Do you want a life? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want a life that's going to succeed? It's like this. God, you created me. I want to just do your will. You created me with a life, and that life has been given everything that I need. So I just want it. I don't want nothing more. I don't want nothing less. I just want the life that you have given me. You know what that life is? Every feeling that you have, every ambition that you have, every unction that you have, that's the anointing. See, you're manifesting in an anointing, and you don't even know it's an anointing. Every desire, every need, every want, everything that's in you that causes you to think and believe and everything else inside of you is called the anointing. Every decision, unless you're influenced by somebody else, and then that anointing is just trying to be pushed on you. But you have your own anointing. And that's what I want to bring out in you. Because that's your real life. That's your real life. How many people are grabbing that one? So I hope that those that are out there that have been influenced by others, I hope that you look at them now in a different way and say, you know what? Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. I appreciate all that you have done. Thank you. Now it's time for me to start making up my own mind. Now it's time for me to start thinking on my own. Now it's starting to look within. But I hope that your intentions are to really glorify God in the life that He has given you. I hope you're truly a seeker of life. If you're not a seeker of life, basically what you're saying is, leave me alone. I want to sit and do nothing, and I don't want to be bothered. Well, I hope that's not you. I hope that's not you. I hope you're truly seeking a life. I hope you're truly saying, you know what? I've been created for some great things. I believe that we were all created for great things. How many people feel that way in your heart? Amen. Well, then you're the right people to hear this message. You're the right ones to hear the word that is being planted in your life. And so that's a great area for us to begin to start thanking Him. Let's just start thanking Him in all things. If we can begin to change and renew our minds and cast down the powers of, I want to just say, complaint. Cast them down. They are bad jojo. It is the worst thing that you can ever do is be frustrated, annoyed, aggravated, upset, whatever it might be, disappointed. It is bad jojo. How many people understand bad jojo? It is bad, 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 bad. And if I can really impart this in you, that complaining is bad, you can't continue to live your life this way and expect things to change. You have to begin to thank, even though it looks bad, like an F on a test, you got to thank Him. Whether you failed, you got to thank Him. You got to start thanking Him in all things. Please, I beg you to exercise yourself in this area. Change your heart. You have power to do it. Do it. It might sound crazy, and you have every right to feel the way you feel. Believe me, when things are done wrong to me, I have every right to feel the way I feel. I should go there and punch that person right in their face. But at the same time, I have to say, okay, you have rights to feel that way because that's the sin nature that I live in, but I want a spiritual life, I want a life, I want the anointing, so now I have to be grateful for that idiot that I want to punch. How many people understand this? Okay, I failed the test. I have every right to feel bad about myself. I have every right to feel that way. But you know what? I want the anointing. I want to pass this test. I want prosperity in my life. I want the life that was given to me that brought me to this test. And guess what? I'm going to laugh at this F, and I'm going to go back and find out why I failed, and I'm going to come back better. I'm not going to be defeated. I am not going to be defeated. And we got to stop allowing these foolish things, because we're foolish, and we got to stop allowing these foolish things to defeat us. We're overcomers, but we're overcomers in Him. We're overcomers in the truth. We're overcomers in the mind of Christ. We have to become, no longer is it I that lives, but Christ that lives inside of me. And Christ is the anointing that I'm trying to talk about that is inside each and every one of you, that really is your life, that gives you that ambition of even waking up in the day. That even gives you that excitement of saying, you know what, I want to accomplish this. This is what I think I need to do. You have five choices, and you pick one of the five. That's the anointing. Why did you pick that one? The anointing is working in your life. unless someone said, you pick it. Now the anointing is working in somebody else's life through you. And that's not what you really want. You want your own anointing to manifest in your life. You want your own life. How many people want their own life? I want my own life. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want my life. And if my life is foolish to you, oh well, but it's my life. And when you get your life, I'm going to tell you right now, you are doing something to the pearl, that priceless pearl that's inside of you. You're polishing it. You're becoming at peace. You're happy. You're happy. If you're not happy, it's because you're probably living someone else's anointing. If you're not happy, for some reason or another, somebody is telling you how to live your life, and you're listening to it, and you're not coming into your own. I hope someone hears this. I hope someone out there hears this so that they can begin to understand why they don't have peace. Listen. We need to understand the power of depression and why it has such a grip in our lives. We have to understand anxiety disorders and why it has so much power in our lives. We have to understand and not get medicated and try to heal ourselves through medication, but heal ourselves by the renewing of the mind. And somewhere, somehow, somebody out there is taking the easy way out, or they just don't have the knowledge to renew someone's mind. And what they're doing is saying, here, take this magical pill. It'll change your life. It'll make you happy. It'll give you strength. It'll wake you up in the day. We got to stop it. We got to go back to the basics when they didn't have all that stuff. We got to go back to where we had changing the way you're thinking. We got to renew the mind. How many people understand where I'm going at? There's an easy way out. You want to take the easy way out? Go right ahead. This is not for you. This place is not for you. This message is not for you. It's just not for you. If you're in the easy way and you're trying to get out of it, this place is for you. This place is for you, but if you're just like content with the easy way, then you know what? It can't help you. Can't help you. You're stuck. You're stuck. You're stuck in that place. And you're happy. You want it. You want it. And I look at it as you're just being selfish. You're just being selfish, and you're pointing your finger at everybody else, and it's everybody else's fault for your failure and everything else. But I'm going to tell you right now, you have a life. God gave you that life, and He'll never give you more than you can handle. And obviously, you can handle the life that He gave you. You just have to make a choice and realize the truth so the truth can set you free. And stop pointing fingers at everybody. Stop making excuses for everybody. Well, Jim, you don't understand. You just don't understand. Yes, I do understand. Don't you think that I can take the easy way out too? Don't you think that I wore your shoes before? Don't you think that I was maybe at that place where you're at? Don't you think? No, you weren't. Well, then you're just lying to yourself. You're just lying, and I'm making this all up, and I don't care about you getting a life. I'm just here looking out for my best interest, and, you know, see you later. I am selfish. I will tell you. And the reason why I'm selfish is because if I surrender and be a bondservant and a slave to God and the message that He has for you, because He loves you, not me, and I'm only doing it because He loves you, and I know that if I do it, He's going to reward me, then yes, it's selfish, isn't it? Because I'm doing it for my reward. Wouldn't you think so? I'm doing it for my reward. It's like this. The person cares for the horse. The horse is dying and it needs water. Person says, here's a dying horse. Let me lead it to some water. But that horse looks at that water. For some reason, it doesn't feel as though it needs it. What am I supposed to do? Take the head of the horse and force it in there? Now I'm going to drown it. And it's probably going to rear up and kick me. Maybe it might even like run away from me. Oh well, what am I supposed to do about that horse? Just let it go. Wave, say goodbye. Because you know what? The horse was never going to help itself. The horse was never going to drink. And the horse probably would never like me anyhow to begin with. What am I trying to run after and chase the horse for? For misery? Grief? Maybe to point myself and blame myself as if I'm doing something wrong? Take this for your own life. I got to close. My time has run out. I got the red light. Not only did I get the red light, but I got the red zero. That means no more minutes left. I wish I could keep talking. There's been times where I spoke till 5 o'clock at night. And I thank all those who bared with it. But with that being said, let us bow every head for a moment. If you're here, and those that are listening have heard what is being said. It's literally God speaking to you, saying, I've given you a life and I want you to have this life. I want you to prosper. I want you to succeed. I want you to accomplish. I want you to be that helpmate and support the one that is doing all the labor and all the work. I put you together. I unified you. So if you open up your heart and say, Lord, come in. I don't want to be the horse that ran away or didn't understand how to drink. I want to be the drinking horse. I don't want to think I know everything. I want to be the drinking horse. I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink. I'm going to receive. I'm going to apply. I'm going to receive. I'm going to listen to the message over and over. I'm going to get it in me. I'm going to make sure that I hear the word as much as possible. I want to be a better person. I want to accomplish my hopes, my dreams. I want to fulfill the anointing in my life. If you opened your heart up and you're sincere, God says, I will come in and I will empower you. He's already there. He already dined with you. He's given you the power. The power already rests inside of you. There's just veils, dirt. You need to polish that pearl, that power. You need to clean it up. If you make that decision in your heart that I count everything I know as dung, that I don't know anything, but I want to know you the more. His promise is, I will supply every need according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory is not some far off, distant, unreachable place or thing. His riches in glory is your anointing, your dream, your desire, your unction, your will in the sense of love. Don't be anxious for anything, but rejoice in all things. I love your presence. I love your I'm going to just share that there's a war that is going on over your life. And God knows what you want. God knows the desires. God knows your need. He knows your love. Because your love is part of that anointing. Your love is what you want things to line up. You want things to come to pass. You want healing. You want that love. You want. God says there's a war that is over your head. It's a war that you can't see and you don't even acknowledge it. But I have given you the weapons of this warfare. And part of the weapon of your warfare is to begin to rejoice. I know it's hard. It's easy to complain. But when you begin to complain, you're giving the enemy that is warring over you weapons, power. And that's why you're not seeing victory. That's why doors are not opening up. That's why you have delays. But God is saying, today I've given you weapons. Start with this weapon. Learn how to use this weapon. And there will be ever increasing weapons to your warfare. Yes, prayer is a weapon. But prayer is just direction. Prayer is just starting the warfare. Prayer is just laying the battlefield. Now it's time to battle. Thank you, Lord. There's a peace I've come to know. Thank you, Lord. Though my heart and flesh may fail. Thank you, Lord. There's an anchor for my Father, I thank you for what you've given us today. And I ask, Lord, that you allow that revelation to impart in us so that we understand the meaning, understand the truth, so that this truth sets us free. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Kurt, and he's going to close us.
Thanks for coming out. Try to join us on Wednesday nights. Great time to come out. Grab a few of these. God's going to put people in your paths for healing. Now, God just revealed a couple people to me in work today. So have a great week. Said share the website with people that are outside. This place has touched everybody in here. We want to help other people out. We're not here just to keep it in a closed group, you know. So have a great week and God bless. Yeah, but if you know anybody, family, friends, bring them out.